This is Social Skills Coaching, a podcast brought to you by Newton Media Group and Patrick King Consulting. Today is Friday, June 11th, 2021. Learn to think using thought experiments. How to expand your mental horizons, understand metacognition, improve your curiosity, and think like a philosopher. Clear Thinking and Fast Action, Book 5. Written by Patrick King, narrated by Russell Newton. This book has spoken at length about how human beings use symbols, what language is, how logic works, and how we can get a better grip on it all. What a marvelous puzzle it all is. Somehow, though, Wittgenstein pressed the matter to its final conclusion and brought much of philosophy into a quiet inner place. No matter the abstractions, words, ideas, logic, or clever cognitive tricks, no matter the technological developments or scientific advances, at the end of it all, we are still here, living and breathing entities in the concrete world, quite profoundly alone with our own ineffable and private limited worlds inside our literal skulls. What is it like to be you? How is it to be somebody else? Engaging with the previous thought experiments arguably helped you develop all the bells and whistles of your own metacognition, turning a curious eye onto your own seeing. But this final thought experiment invites us to grapple with the very ground of our lived experience, our consciousness itself. A Tale of Fish. We end this book not with a thought experiment per se, but with a philosophical stroll into perception and how we're all left holding our own boxes of beetles, in a manner of speaking. Despite our best effort, we are necessarily limited in our perception, and though it doesn't need to be stated again, this should inform how we approach problem-solving, decisions, relationships, and any other life situation that demands analysis. If nothing else, the takeaway from this book should be that the more you think you know, the less you truly do. The parable of the happiness of fish wraps up this chapter and book neatly with a bow. The parable comes courtesy of Zhang Zi, the same Taoist philosopher who posed the butterfly dream question earlier. The following is attributed to Zhang Zi, the essential writings, with selections from traditional commentaries by Brooke Zipperin. Zhang Zi and Hui Zi were strolling along a bridge over the Hao River. Zhang Zi said, "The minnows swim about so freely, following the openings wherever they take them. Such is the happiness of fish." Hui Zi said, "You're not a fish, so whence do you know the happiness of fish?" Zhang Zi said, "You are not I. So whence do you know I don't know the happiness of fish?" Hui Zi said, "I'm not you to be sure, so I don't know what it is to be you. But by the same token, since you're certainly not a fish, my point about your inability to know the happiness of fish stands intact." Zhang Zi said, "Let's go back to the starting point. You said, whence do you know the happiness of fish? Since your question was premised on your knowing that I know it, I must have known it from here, up above the Hao River." This exchange between Zhang Zi and Hui Zi seems circular and redundant, but what is being demonstrated here? No one can peer into the minds of others, and this is shown right from the outset in two ways. Zhang Zi first asserts that he knows the happiness of the fish, but in fact, he is not presupposing to know their state of mind, only that fish are simply doing what fish do, and this is their happiness. It's that simple. Zhang Zi knows the happiness of fish because fish do what fish do, and he can see them doing it. There's already a misunderstanding here due to the different perspectives and mindsets, as Hui Zi won't tolerate this line of thinking, and assumes that Zhang Zi can inhabit the minds of these very fish, to understand their emotional state of mind. This is the first way that we see different perspectives being pointed out in a manner that we probably erroneously employ in our everyday lives. And second, Huizi points out that Zhang Zhe is not a fish, so how could he possibly know what brings them happiness, just as the two of them cannot possibly know what the other knows or does not know? If Zhang Zhe cannot know the happiness of fish because he is not a fish, then, applying the same reasoning, Huizi cannot know whether Zhang Zhe knows it or not. If the first premise is correct, then this conclusion would certainly seem logically to follow. Perhaps it all is but a dream, or a dream within a dream. Zhang Zhe knows the happiness of fish, just as any dreamer knows the content of his dream. And this works equally well for the dreaming or ostensibly awake. And in either case, whether dreaming or awake, it doesn't matter, for it's the experience which has arisen. We don't know what other people are really saying, because it's always tainted with their own perspectives, and we can't read their minds. We don't really know what other people are thinking, because we're not them. We don't always know what we ourselves are thinking, because we're constantly influenced by the people and circumstances around us. And in the end, maybe it's all a dream, and we're just a butterfly waking up from a deep nap in mid-spring. As we end this book, we find ourselves right back where we started, with questions. Having taken your mind out to visit distant arenas of possibility, you've given your brain exercise, so it can engage with even bigger, subtler, more mind-boggling problems the next time around. You'll teach yourself to watch for your assumptions and question them often and rigorously. You'll condition yourself to tolerate uncertainty and be okay with suspending judgment rather than accepting conclusions on incomplete information. You'll frequently examine not just the content of your thoughts, but the architecture holding it all together. You won't care about being right, and might end up being right more often as a result. You'll become curious about how you're thinking, or even why. Just as plenty of exercise makes a body robust and healthy, regularly putting your mind through the works develops robust and healthy cognitive abilities, and, if you're like Wittgenstein, it may even kindle the sentiment of life being filled with something poetic and truly ineffable. What else is your mind, after all, but an organ through which to experience wonder at being alive here in this strange and boundless place we call the world? To move deeper into the study of thought experiments, check out Patrick King's audiobook, Learn to Think Using Thought Experiments, How to Expand Your Mental Horizons, Understand Metacognition, Improve Your Curiosity, and Learn to Think Like a Philosopher. It's available on Audible, and the link is in the show notes.
This has been Learn to Think Using Thought Experiments, How to Expand Your Mental Horizons, Understand Metacognition, Improve Your Curiosity, and Think Like a Philosopher. Clear Thinking and Fast Action, Book 5. Written by Patrick King. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins.